Hello.
Welcome to Universal After Dark, a Universal podcast that's not the same as all the others. Hello and welcome to February's Universal After Dark. I have got on this episode, is he a guest? I don't know. One time co-host, all round, all nice guy, and Prince of Darkness, would you say?
Why not?
Let's go for it. It's Ripples himself,
I
Mr.
know.
Ripley.
It's me.
It's
I'm
him.
Back. Backstreet's back. Everybody, yeah. Rock your body, yeah. Everybody, yeah. Rock your body right. Backstreet's back, all right.
Again. Welcome to the show. Everybody's heads fell off in December last year. Was it December, Chris, when they announced it?
Yeah.
It was, wasn't it?
I think so.
And various people were like, why hasn't the world's renowned, world famous and number two biggest Universal theme park podcast talked about and give their opinions on the UK Universal Park? And we said it's not the time, it's not the place. Our time will come. Plus, I'd already recorded two episodes in mid-December, so I wasn't prepared to fuck them up. So I have been following Chris's tweets with interest. Because this park is potentially coming, it's potentially not coming. Should we start with what we definitely know, or let's like the definite positives? So it's in Bedfordshire.
Yeah, it's in that area.
It's in that area.
Yep.
Acreage, what are we looking at?
Oh, I had it all in front of me, now I've lost it. Potentially 500 acres.
How does that compare to the current Universal parks that we know that aren't yet built in Orlando?
Well, I mean, regular, like Orlando itself is, I think it was, like the whole resort is about 550 acres.
Wow. So what they've got in the UK is a substantial plot of land.
It is a substantial plot of land, and they're going to need it as well.
Because of?
Well, because building anything in this country is a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
So what happens is now, basically, in a nutshell, if you want to build something, even if you wanted to put an extension on your house, for example, and you need to put more power in,
yeah,
the electric board will make you pay to upgrade the local substation.
Agreed. Yeah.
They always do. So if you come along and you say you want to build a theme park, suddenly you've got local authorities going, oh, we could have a new sewer, or we could have new drainage, or we could have new motorways, or we could have new traffic lights. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
They're going to need all that space for all the other crap that they make and build.
And I've had a look at the plot of land, and it does look quite rural. So it hasn't got an infrastructure, has it? How far off a motorway is it, and that type of stuff?
Well, it's not too bad, is it? I mean, it has got it's got various motorways that are not a million miles. I mean, Bedford is what, just north of London from memory.
Yeah.
You've got train lines running.
There is
in
a train
proximity.
Station there, yeah.
And then you've got like is it the A6? I think runs through the site or just very near it.
Something like that off the top
Yeah.
of my head.
So it's just south of Bedford, north of London. So, I mean, geography wise, is probably quite a good place to build a theme park. It's sort of just south of the centre of the whole of the UK, if you like.
That gets me excited.
Ooh.
It
I mean, it has lots of pluses.
the A421 runs nearby.
Yeah.
So, and that's a substandard, and the A6, you're right, yeah. So it has got a lot of throughput to get a lot of cars in and stuff and whatever. And a lot of building. You know,
Yeah.
there's going to be a lot of lorries, isn't it? Obviously, and concrete
And
and
there's a bloody train station in the middle of their plot as well.
yeah, a train station, which is phenomenal. So, I mean, do you know any of the background, or did this just come out the blue? Just totally.
Well, they back in the late 90s, obviously it was under different ownership, Universal, but they tried to build one down near Nick in Essex.
Yeah.
And that was very cloak and daggers. And a lot of it went on without, I mean, the internet wasn't ma a massive thing back then. So a lot of it went under the radar. And in the end, I think it was wildlife that basically scuppered that build. There's videos on YouTube you can watch. And since then, they've been looking to, well, since Comcast came along and opened up the checkbook. We know that since Comcast took over and they've been really heavily invested in the foreign parks, we know that they've been looking at potentially France, Spain, and the UK, as did Disney when they wanted to build Disneyland Paris. You know, they looked at
Yeah.
Spain, France, and England, and at the end of the day, France won because they gave them loads of incentives to build there. You know, some say that bit them on the arse in the long run, but they chose France. And, you know, so Universal have just been seeing how, you know, Disneyland Paris has been what is it, the number one tourist attraction in the whole of Europe?
Would it not have made sense, right? To stick it down the road from Disneyland Paris.
Well, yeah, probably, but is there 500 plus acres for sale? You know.
Maybe not, maybe, but
I mean, I don't know.
to me, like, people are traveling there anyway to Disneyland Paris, and Universal has always been second fiddle, you know. We'll give Universal 5 days and we'll give Disney 2 weeks.
Yeah.
If people are going there anyway, but you've got this great big landmass of Europe, and they're sticking it in the most hostile anti-immigration country in the world at the moment, in Great Britain. You know, stop the boats, build the wall, open arms, let's get tourism in. How's that going to work? How do you going to generate? How many people do they need to visit this park for it to be sustainable? Is my point.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I just don't bother with UK theme parks, full stop, to be honest with you, because I just don't think any of them compete with American parks or even, you know, Disneyland Paris, for example.
Yeah.
So I don't bother. I don't know. I mean, they're going to need a buttload of people is to answer your question.
I know the UK parks are seasonal. I know Disneyland Paris isn't seasonal, but ours all get mothballed every winter and all get shut down. Some of them might have the grounds open to go and look at the gardens or whatever. But would it not have been an idea to, like, buy Alton Towers or buy one of the other, whatever they're called?
Well, Legoland, which was on the old Windsor Zoo Safari ground, that was for sale for years and nobody showed any interest whatsoever. And then Legoland swooped in and bought that. So that's a shame because that would have been an ideal location for them.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Just, you know, 15, 20 years too late. But to answer your question, that's actually a better idea in my view, is to buy an established site because if you've already got a theme park and you're adding to it, you're knocking down what's there, replacing what's there. To me, from a development point of view, that's better. With this, it's literally a great big swampy bit of land that no one wants between motorways. So
Exactly.
this is going to cost so much more to develop than what it would do if they bought, say, Well, even if they bought Legoland or Chessington or Thorpe Park or something, you know.
I mean, what's currently on the land now? I know you've said swampy. Is it cows? Do you know what I mean? Is it farming land?
Well, you've got two plots. One to the north has got loads of, it's very swampy. It's high category flood risk, like the highest category flood risk you can get in the UK.
Yeah.
It's got lots of big ponds and lakes. It probably was a quarry because you had a brick factory there for centuries, taking clay out of the ground, I imagine, to make the bricks. And then you've got a road that runs through horizontally through the plot. And on that road, you've got what's called ribbon development, which is that after the Second World War, people built houses along roads. So you've got houses all along that road. And then the other plot to the south, the smaller plot, is just rolling fields, which looks all dry and lovely, but it's a bit smaller than the plot to the north.
So they're going to have to excavate everything, aren't they?
Oh, they're going to have to totally. I mean, like, unlike anything you've seen in this country for years, they've got
Yeah.
to totally redo both plots to make it developable.
We can't even put a new railway in without everyone kicking off.
This is what I mean. So I've had a new railway station built near me. It's the first one in what, God knows how many years. And it's taken, I mean, it's literally, Craig, it's two platforms and a car
Yeah.
park. There's no building, nothing. It's taken 9 years to build.
Wow.
It's just two platforms and a car park. It's not even manned.
It's like in Japan, they put 200 miles of railway in about 20 minutes. It's all high speed, it's all 300 miles an hour, like that. We've had 15 years of HS2. We've had compulsory purchases on land, on properties. We've had major, major excavation work through the central of London, whole communities in high-rise flats around the Euston area removed, bulldozed. All them buildings were crushed because I drive a train into Euston, all crushed and turned into dust and rubble and then used as landfill for the new site. So they don't even take it away anymore. They just reuse it where it is. It's unbelievable. And it's all being mothballed and it's mass opposition, mass protesting and moaning about costs and whatever. And these want to come in and just throw a little theme park up or a massive theme park up
So,
in what? Go on.
but take HS2 for example as a big infrastructure project, right? That has been as
Yeah.
slow as you could get. Same as Crossrail. It's taken decades, right?
Slower than Disney.
Right. But HS2 and Crossrail both had Acts of Parliament which enabled them to be developed, right? So they got no problem with finance whatsoever. They got no problem getting around all the laws, getting around all the planning authorities. You know, they can t put their two fingers up to all the councils. We got an Act of Parliament. So even with like the Gold Pass, it's taken decades for them to be built.
Yeah.
These guys have got no Gold Pass. They've got no bottomless pockets of money. They've got no Act of Parliament. It's
And
going to cost them a fortune.
this isn't SimCity where you can just turn a rural piece of land into a commercial piece of land. I mean, how will that, will have they already have submitted plans to change the land use?
Well, I don't think they have. I mean, equally, you can't submit a planning application in this country by law if you don't own the land. So they
Wow.
own the plot to the north, they own the plot to the south. They don't own the train stations, they don't own the roads, and they don't own the houses.
There's literally a set of houses right in the middle of it.
Yeah, literally.
I mean, they could be an attraction, maybe, couldn't they?
Turn it into some sort of Harry Potter,
Yeah.
the street where he grew up, you know.
Where the Dursleys knocked about.
That's it, the Dursley Street or whatever it's called,
Yeah.
yeah.
But stuff like that, I mean, Liverpool Football Club, when they were redeveloped the Centenary Stand, it was the, let's get this right, it was the Kemlin Road Stand back in the day. They wanted to expand it, and there was a street behind the stadium. And they purchased all the houses in this street, apart from two little old girls, two sisters who lived together. And they said no. And Liverpool knocked every, you go and find all the photographs. Liverpool knocked all the street down either side of this house. It was a terraced house. It ended up being a detached house.
Yeah.
Until the sisters, I can't
Unbelievable.
remember if they died or if they eventually just moved out. They took them, or they ended up in a nursing home or whatever. But it took years for Liverpool to
So,
get that land.
you mentioned HS2, that's got an Act of Parliament, and you were saying about the houses and the flats were all demolished and churned up into, aggregate to be used as foundations, right? When you got an Act of Parliament, if you don't sell a house to them, compulsory purchase, they'll say, "Ah, sod you," and buying it anyway, because they've got an Act of
Wow.
Parliament. When you're talking about Liverpool Football Club, they haven't got an Act of Parliament. They're a private company. They can't compulsory purchase other private property. So if these people won't sell to Universal, they've got to build around them. It's as simple as that.
And that's like the film Up.
It will be like Up. If people on that road won't sell for whatever reason, which does happen, as you said with Liverpool, then they've got to build around them.
I mean, they could put them in a dome. They could, oh, they could live in a greenhouse.
I mean, they we were told by, I think it was the Times or the Express or someone, went to interview people on this road, and they've all signed non-disclosure agreements.
Wow.
So Universal has already targeted them to probably buy their houses. And I've looked online, I haven't seen any go through yet, but house sales on the land registry take, months and months before they get processed online. So it sounds as though they are attempting to buy them.
So, for them to have signed a compulsory purchase, would money have changed hands?
I
Like
don't know.
a
Just in an NDA,
prepayment?
I think, well, yeah, it's interesting because, sign this NDA and then we'll negotiate with you to buy your house.
Yeah.
It's interesting because, whams if you say, "Well, I'm not interested in selling,"
Yeah. I don't want to sign your NDA. Here's a
send rid of it.
suitcase full of money. How much is
Well,
in it?
yeah. If one house won't sell and all the others do, when do you stop offering them a price? How high do you go? But then
And
also risky, if they buy all the houses and then they get their planning turned down, then what?
you can't just move a road.
Well, that's the other problem. You've then got to go to the county council to get permission to do something with that road.
And you can't just move a railway.
You can't move a railway. You can't move footpaths either.
Yeah, walking rights and all that.
I mean, building, say you want to build, you want to move the railway. Absolutely forget it, right? Secondly, you want to build next to a railway. Oh my good God. Network rail are over you like a rash,
I
and they will
see.
slow it up massively.
I see Network Rail take over Farmers Fields. It'll be like College Junction, for example, or there'll be a junction down Milton Keynes where they're replacing that junction. They
Yeah.
don't just come in the night before and put that junction in. No, the compulsory purchase or rent, whatever they have to do, the field next to it, and they
Yeah.
spend 6, 9 months building the new junction, getting it all laid out, getting it all set up, so that over the course of a weekend, whatever long it's going to be, they can rip out the old junction and just pick up and put in the new junction. It's
Yeah.
a feat of engineering that we see for months and months as we're going up and down.
Yeah.
So to even consider moving a railway, Can they put it in a tunnel and have the theme park over the railway, maybe? Like
Well,
in the Utilidors?
I mean, yeah, well, for example, the A303 near Stonehenge, they've wanted to put that road in a tunnel to go under Stonehenge for as
Yeah.
many decades as I can remember, and they still haven't put a spade in the ground.
Which is why would like I mean I've been to Stonehenge. It's unbelievable. It's lit. There's something about that place that is unbelievable. And we got quite close to the stones. We couldn't touch them, but the walk rounds, we could walk around them. But you can see the road and it's in the distance over there.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
the road's not doing any harm. It's
No, it
just
is
over
quite
there.
far. Yeah.
But so why is it why did he feel the need to go underneath Stonehenge?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Like putting the road under Buckingham Palace. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. But, so you've got the rail, the road, the housing, and then the other biggest issue is the flooding. Because you've got level three risk flooding to the north. The road, the A471, is it? The dual carriageway that runs along there, that's all on stilts.
Wow.
So the highways know that it floods there. The planners know it floods there. So to get around the flooding, you have got to build lots and lots of what they call suds, which are basically empty ponds. So when it does flood, and it will flood, and I'll tell you why it will flood. It's because it's sandwiched by the railway, both sides. It's sandwiched by the roads up and down, and then the plots adjacent are all heavily developed commercial and residential plots. So, well, if you think about like the rain coming down from the sky, landing, across the grounds, it lands equally everywhere, and it can't get through the rain because either side you've got railways, you've got concrete, you've got tarmac, buildings, etc., etc. So it all runs into this plot, which makes the flooding worse. So now you're going to cover it in concrete and build theme park attractions on it. So where's the water going to go? So at the moment,
Extra
it's all running in
absorbent
there.
concrete.
Well,
It's like
that doesn't
sponge
exist,
concrete, isn't it?
unfortunately. It doesn't exist, unfortunately. So they've got to build all of these suds to take all this surplus water. Then they've got to pump it. They've got to. So you're going to need a big pumping
Yeah,
station. You're going to
big
need
pump
all these.
station.
You're going to need all that. All that's got to be approved by the Environment Agency. And then the next big stumbling block that all planning, because essentially all planning, and not a lot of people know this, to coin a phrase of Michael Caine, but all planning is basically on stop in the UK, and it has been for about 4 years, because there's this thing called nutrient neutrality, and essentially the rivers are polluted, and it's basically because of the sewage being pumped out into the sea, although they won't admit that, but that is what the problem is. And
Just ask Fergal Sharkey.
well, yeah, ask him. So basically, because there's these high pollution levels in the rivers, the people that are in charge of the rivers are essentially Environment Agency and Natural England. And the only tools they've got to stop pollution levels is to stop private companies from building near rivers, which is basically England and Wales and Scotland is covered in bloody rivers. So that planning for anybody that's anywhere near a river, which is pretty much all of the country, is on stop unless they can prove they're not sending water to a water course. So this plot is filled with bloody water. So they're going to be sending loads of water to the water course. It's because they don't want it flooding their theme park.
But
So
it's currently filled of basically clean water because it's basically just flood water. I know it's rainwater and there might be a bit of shit in it off the sewers and whatever and the pollution that's going on with all that. But if you're going to put a theme park in there and all the building materials and all the fucking palaver of bit, all you're doing is all them contaminants are going into the water cycle then, aren't they?
What it is, and also don't forget that in the UK, most of the sewers take rainwater and sewage,
Yeah.
which all run to processing plants. And when it rains heavily, it overfills and it goes into the rivers.
Goes
So if
back
you're
into
going
the
to be
rivers.
exactly, so you're going to be putting loads of toilets in this theme park, which you're going to have to, because you're going to have loads of restaurants and hotels and blah, blah, blah. So you're going to have an opportunity for sewage to go into the river. So now nutrient neutrality laws kick in for this development. So in theory, they're breaching the law before they've even started, right? I'm just trying to spitball you how the planners work, okay?
Yeah.
So nutrient neutrality laws, as far as I can work out as a lay legal person, are leftover EU laws that were brought in for the whole of the EU. So even in France, they've got these laws. Where we've left the EU, these laws are still part of our
Yeah.
divorce agreement.
Because we copy and pasted the EU laws, because
Pretty much.
otherwise we wouldn't have had any laws.
But we, true, but we can't get rid of these laws because that would reduce our environmental credentials, which would breach our Brexit agreement, which means the EU could put tariffs on our trade because we're then seen as a pollutant country. So Rishi Sunak was asked by all the planning departments, can you get rid of nutrient neutrality because we left the EU? No, we bloody can't, was the answer. So when he or Starmer or anyone say they're going to build loads of new houses, they can't because of nutrient neutrality laws. And the only way to get around it, literally the only way, is they would have to build, Universal I'm talking about now, a massive sewage treatment plant. So when I say they need those 550 acres,
Yeah.
they have got to build a massive sewage plant in that ground there somewhere.
So on a hot summer's day, as you're walking
Yeah,
around Hogwarts, it will
I know.
smell like the true countryside of Great Britain.
In theory, unless they come up with some, I don't know, some, newfangled way of doing it, that would be true.
In the Arches, they fix everything just by planting reeds. And water filtration through reeds. Can't you just do that?
I think that's all right for like a house or a couple of houses, because I've known a few people do that, but not for a 500-acre theme park.
I mean, and again, there's been a lot of train stuff in here, but I drive a train from Liverpool to London, down the West Coast main line. And one example, north of Stafford, Doxey Marsh, is basically the railway is built on top of marshland, raised above it. And when every winter now we have, there's a little river that runs, it's like a babbling stream almost, runs alongside the West Coast main line going from Norton Bridge down to Stafford. That breaks its banks now, burst its banks every single year. And that marshland goes for miles of flood water, and it's there for months. It doesn't just disappear overnight, it takes months to drop back down. So, I mean, what you're saying there is this is dead in the water before it. They've basically bought just a load of shite.
Well, put it this way, you've got houses all around it. If this plot was a goer, wouldn't the bloke who sold it have put houses on it?
You would like to think so, because they literally build houses on flood plains now, left, right, and centre, don't they? Well, they have
Exactly.
been.
If this was an easy plot that could be developed, somebody would have stuck loads of houses on it by now.
Where would you have put it?
What the whole plot? I mean,
The
where would I have
whole
bought
plot, yeah.
that? Well, I mean, like you know, like I was saying about nutrient neutrality and the issues with drainage and all that sort of caper. If it was near the coast a bit more, you could pump all that water out to sea. I mean, it would cost a load of money, but that might be a solution. So maybe they would need to look more coastal. I mean, there's so many poor areas around the coasts in England and Wales. Lower social economic places. I mean, like particularly in Kent. I mean, all these places used to be like the big tourist hotspots, didn't they, along the coast? And because of holidays to Spain and wherever else, they've all dwindled to nothing. So I'm sure there must be some big plots of land, some big brownfield sites
I
that are
mean, imagine
nearer.
Universal Blackpool.
Well, yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Perfect. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, right, say everything works.
Yeah.
This can't have that much outdoor stuff because they want to run this 365 days a year.
It's gonna, well, the I can't remember who was saying about it, but there's a park in Asia where a lot of it's indoors
Yeah.
with like covered walkways and things. I mean, Disneyland Paris has a bit of that as well. But you'd have a lot of that, I would imagine, with this.
Me and Nick in Disneyland Paris in November in 2022 did the Indiana Jones ride, which is arguably one of the most terrifying and horrific roller coasters I've ever been on.
Yes.
Because it looks like it's come off the back of a friggin' wagon.
Literally does, yeah.
And it puts you upside down, and it's like the smallest loop-de-loop ever. And we did that in the torrential rain, in the freezing November rain.
Yeah.
Slash was on a hill somewhere playing guitar. It was awful, you know. And theme parks don't like being wet. I know. Universal and Disney are constantly soaked daily, but it's a different type of soaked, isn't it?
The only plus point I would say about the climate is with climate change, it does seem to be getting hotter in the UK. If you, I mean, like I live in Kent and I am now surrounded by
Desert.
grapevines.
Oh,
No,
are you?
grapevines. Literally, there's a new winery opening up every week around here. I'm like, I'm living in the Champagne region of France.
Yeah, but the Romans did wine in Great Britain. They grew grapes everywhere in Great Britain.
They did, yeah, it's true. They did, yeah. So I don't know. So maybe climate's cyclical. I don't know. But all I know is that they're banking on the fact that France is getting too hot and our climate is getting much more temperate. So,
Maybe. I mean, that's 100 year. That's a long game they're playing there.
true, true.
I mean, our Christmases now are shit, aren't they? It's literally. It's the greyest day of the year. It's gale force winds and horizontal rain
Yeah.
for 10 hours every. Well, no, for basically about 6 weeks
Yeah.
from the end of November into January. It's
Well,
just awful.
when we came back from Florida in October, we got home from Orlando to Heathrow within 6 hours. And
Wow.
the pilot was like, "Oh yeah, the jet stream is really working today." I'm
That's
thinking,
weird,
I've
isn't it?
never got home that quickly before.
That's TARDIS style fucking
So
timekeeping that. That
if
Concorde couldn't have done that.
the jet stream is playing up, that must account for all this stormy weather, which is all, I suppose, part of climate change, but
So it's going to be an indoor park, isn't it? The
yeah.
majority of it. It's got to be. So it's going to be more
Which
screens.
then you won't smell the sewage.
Yeah. You'll just have the funk. The indoor air conditioning funk that you get. I mean, do you think it would literally just be a carbon copy, a greatest hits? I mean, you're going to say put yours back in and Back to the
Would, yeah.
Future and all
Yeah,
that.
true, true,
But they
yeah.
never will they? They never
No.
ever will.
No.
But they're going to have to. They will copy and paste some stuff because that's how they keep costs down and get it built.
Well,
Because
they are building various parks around the world, and the recurring properties seem to be Trolls, Shrek, Jurassic Park, and Madagascar, and Fast and the Furious to a degree. They seem to be the franchises they are. I mean, Jurassic Park is literally every single theme park has got a Jurassic Park area.
Well, have you seen Spider-Man's going out of
Yeah.
Far East this month?
Yeah,
Going. It's getting rethemed into Pokemon.
I know,
I
I
think
know.
that's dangerous because it's a movie studios.
Yeah.
It's not a game. Well, I don't, if no Nintendo want to build theme parks.
Yeah.
I know Harry Potter isn't Universal and all that palaver. But at least it's a film.
True. I mean, a lot of people said to me, right? Oh, Universal UK, that'll have Harry Potter, definitely. And I'm thinking to myself, We've got like the actual film studios where it's made. We've got the actual locations. I mean, even in my local town, there's a Harry Potter shop.
Yeah.
There's probably one on every street corner in Liverpool.
Yeah.
So
No.
we're Harry Potter out to the max here.
You're where I go and visit Eve, and you go down the shambles. You know, that's Harry Potter. When you walk around Edinburgh, that's Harry Potter.
Have you been to
There's
that Ghost Merchants in York yet?
you can't get near the place. It's in the middle of the shambles.
Yeah.
It doesn't open till about 10 o'clock. They shut for one day a week. I think it's a Wednesday or something. And there's a queue down the road.
Oh,
They're
God.
still very COVIDy in the shambles in York.
Are
So
they?
so they won't let the regulate. I mean, because it's very small and very cramped anyway, they might have always done this. I've never been. I went to York with Kerry in the 90s, but in the shambles, a lot of the bakeries and stuff like that won't let you inside. They have you at the door.
Oh,
Yeah.
didn't know that.
And then the ghost shop is literally a queue down the road, and then they limit the numbers that go in. But it is a tiny shop. You know, when Universal were too true to, you know, when they did the first land, them shops are shocking because they did them like real life, didn't they? They're all tiny and shit.
Yes.
And the thing is, you put Harry Potter into a UK park, which is rainy, wet. You know, my back garden now is covered in moss because it's damp for long periods of time over the months. Doesn't get a lot of sunlight. Bang, you've got moss everywhere, and it just, you know, Alton Towers is like that, and all the other places are like that. I personally don't think it's going to happen.
What, the Universal UK?
Yeah, I think it's just at the wrong, it's in the wrong place, it's in the wrong country. You know, Keir Starmer can say he's going to change all the building laws to get all these houses built. It's not, as you've just pointed out there, it is not that easy.
No, because they would have done it by now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They would have done it by now. So, but the thing, but I have got a little bit of positive news.
Oh.
I think. So I broke the news that Universal was putting all of its copyrights in the UK for Halloween Horror Nights together.
Yeah.
So that suggests to me there's Halloween Horror Nights coming to the UK in some shape or form. So a lot of people were saying, oh, well, we'll have to wait decades for this because it's going to go into this theme park. Well, in speaking to a few people that I know, apparently it's not going in the theme park. It's going in central London.
Which makes sense.
So, if we don't get the theme park, we might still get Halloween Horror Nights.
I mean, you've got the London Dungeon is a, you know, it's everywhere, isn't it? It's even in Alton Towers, and it's like Edinburgh Dungeon, Glasgow Dungeon, York Dungeon's got one. It's all the same. If you go in each one, it's all the same. They might have localized horror stories a little bit more, but it's basically the same thing, and it's brilliant. I think we did the London one. And we ended up in the bar with Jack the Ripper. And, you know, the lights went out in the middle of it all as one of the murder victims is telling of her plight and all this blah, 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 blah. And then the lights go off. And then Jack the Ripper was standing right in front of, I think it was our Eve, might have been our Grace, was one of them anyway. And she was hysterical because she shit her knickers. You know what? And that's what Halloween Horror Nights will be like, a semi-permanent, semi-automated house. Busy periods, it'll have extra scare actors in it. It'll have the bare minimum scare actors in it normally just to get by. But it's got potential there to be a, you know, a brilliant night out, maybe. Maybe it's got a bar, food, everything.
Yeah, I mean that if you take the fact that Universal with these parks outside the US are all having very similar things put into them. So if you was to say like Halloween Horror Nights as a concept is being considered in other parts of the world now as a standalone attraction, if we then look at what they're doing in Las Vegas, which is where we know they're putting in a a standalone attraction called Horror Unleashed. We just need to look at what they're doing there to say,
Yeah.
well, will that work in London? And the answer is yes, it bloody will work in London very easily. Because that site in Vegas, it's part of that area, 15 or 51, they call it. And it's 20 acres in size. And Universal's having like, I want to say a quarter of that for Halloween Horror Nights. I mean,
Wow.
that's a massive, just for Halloween Horror Nights, that is a massive, I mean, that's easily two, three houses plus bar, plus maybe even a restaurant, easily.
I think some of their own characters will be represented.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, it's no longer there, but they used to have a year-round haunted attraction at Universal Hollywood, which was like an old castle, and it was on two floors as well, and it had a mixture of animatronics and the real life actors as well, and it really did mix like classic horror like Psycho and like older films, and then it mixed in like the 80s horror with like Chucky and remember now, it's been so long, but it mixed in horror from like every decade,
Yeah.
whilst mixing in animatronics with real life people. So it was a really good attraction that was like wasn't just like a Halloween Horror Nights house that lasts about 5 minutes. I mean, it was like a serious 15 to 20 minute long attraction, depending on how quickly or slow you went through it, I suppose.
I don't think my bowels could handle that.
Oh,
I went to Scare City with our Grace and her mates, so a 49-year-old man with four 14-year-old girls,
my God.
and we paid for the gold pass or whatever it was called, and I've got to say there was maybe 10 or 12 houses there, and this is on the site of, is it Gulliver's World was the old one,
Could be, yeah.
maybe, I can't, so it's up by Warrington anyway. And it's all overgrown now, and it was a real small little theme park. It's all overgrown and everything like that now, and a lot of the buildings are semi-derelict and whatever. And they put the houses in the buildings,
Yeah.
and they pulsed you through. So we would walk. There'd be a short queue of maybe a 20-minute wait, and we'd walk next to it, and just go straight in. There was no messing around. There was none of this Halloween Horror Nights overselling express passes or whatever. You literally walked straight in. And some of them actors in there would follow you through the entire house. And when you thought you'd got away from them, he'd be behind you with a fucking bag on his head and a chainsaw in his hand or whatever. I was called, was it a fat twat? Something like by there was a head, there was a clown with three buckets, and you had to pick a bucket, and it was guess which one's got that severed head under it. And when I picked, she verbally abused me to within an inch of my life. It was a phenomenal night, and if they could do Halloween Horror Nights like that over here, it would be off the chart.
Did I ever tell you about my stag do?
No.
Well, I won't mention all the strippers and everything, but my best man took me to this thing in not far from St Pancras. It was meant to be like this sleep and relaxation clinic.
Oh.
So I thought, why the fuck is he taking me to this poxy thing for? And you come in and they give you this robe to put on, and they sit you down and they go through all the things that they're going to use virtual reality to relax you, and it's this experience that they're trialing and all this sort of bollocks. And then the people in white coats, they take you through to this room and you put these VR headsets on and they take you like flying through the sky, and it's all, and the graphics were really dreadful as well. I mean, they weren't, you know what I mean? They were
Yeah.
like a Sega Mega Drive from the 80s, you know? And so all that's going on. And then They get a tap on the shoulder and they pull your mask off you. And there's this like demon standing there.
Oh.
And so basically, the twist is it's not this relaxation clinic come bullshit thing. It's basically a haunted house experience where they try to scare the shit out of you, basically. And so this demon is like summoning me to go to this room where I'm locked in with someone else who I don't know. And there's like ghosts in there and all this other stuff, like a locked room type thing. And I'm like, seriously, do you know who I am?
I am the great.
This is shit. You know what I mean? This is so crap. The walls looked like you could lean on them and they'd fall over. I mean, it was so poor. So I take my hat off to my best man to try and. I mean, they literally they tried everything. They locked you in a room. They turned the lights off. They jumped out at you. They tried to scare you. I mean, in the end, it culminated with them burying you alive, and it was still
Oh.
dreadful. So that was my stag do. Yeah. Thankfully,
So
that experience went bust and
that's what I was going to say. Is it still there?
no,
Because
it's gone. It's
that
gone.
sounds like a good Saturday night to me, that getting
I
buried alive in central London.
wouldn't recommend it, put it that way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, have you got anything else to add? Do you think it'll happen?
If do you know what? If they went and got an Act of Parliament, right, I'm being serious because some private companies have in the past
Yeah.
got Acts of Parliament, right? That would then get them out of so much.
Well, on the plus side, I don't know if this area needs redevelopment or not. It doesn't look like, it looks like a little rural place, a couple of little industrial parks, a little village, that type of stuff. But it would be a huge boost to the UK economy.
It would, yeah, it would be good.
It would
I mean,
bring in
because,
a lot of work, a lot of jobs into that area.
yeah, definitely. I mean, a lot of people keep saying to me, oh, you're so negative. It's like you obviously don't want it to happen. It's like, no, I do want it to happen. I would go to it on opening day. I'd probably be an annual pass holder.
Oh, yeah, I've already time. It's 4 hours in the car for me.
Exactly. I mean, it must be a good hour and a half for me. So, you know what I mean? I would be an annual pass holder. Take my money.
You know,
But,
it's the UK, so it would have one hotel. It wouldn't be like Universal where it's got five hotels or whatever. It would have one hotel. But Premier Inn would spring up, a Travelodge would spring up.
Ah, oh, without a doubt.
You know, the regeneration for the whole area as a whole, it would be huge. You
Yeah.
know, we went and stayed in Alton Towers. We did a partner package. We didn't stay on property. We stayed in a hotel about off the top of my head, 5 or 10 miles away. That was a proper old-fashioned hotel type thing with a bar and a restaurant, you know, and it all come with me tickets for Alton Towers, that type of stuff for the so for the businesses that are already there, they could get into bed with it.
Definitely. Like in Kent, they built a sort of a theme park called Dickens World. It's no longer there. It was only open, I don't know, a few years. But Premier Inn, I think it was Premier Inn or Travelodge, they were so desperate to get a hotel near this theme park that they bought a terraced of houses to
Wow.
get planning to knock through and turn it into a hotel.
Did
So,
he?
yeah, oh yeah. So
Wow.
those houses down there, they're more valuable than they realize because if Universal won't buy them, Travelodge, Premier Inn, God knows who else, Hilton,
Yeah.
whoever, they'll buy
Makes sense.
those people could be sitting on a gold mine.
So I won't say Rishi Sunak because that's just awful. But the other fella, Keir Starmer, do us a favour, Act of Parliament, let's get this built. We can have it done in 3 years if we all work.
Yeah, literally, if they had an Act of Parliament and they put in all the sewage stuff that I've spoken about, which they've got the space to do it,
Yeah.
then you've got no problem. You'd have that built within, I don't know, 3, 4 years.
Fast and the Furious UK edition. Take my money. Jimmy Fallon, UK edition. Oh, I'm just quoting all the knockout attractions you've got. I'd have all them. I'd be happy with that. It would just give you a fix, wouldn't it? That you don't have to go to Universal in Orlando every 2 years. You could just go every 3 years instead. Just get you fixed
Yeah.
down here.
Yeah.
Right. Well, do you want to wind this episode up? And on the next episode, we've got an eater, which is a unique one, to say the least. So we'll wind this episode up. So thank you very much for coming on, Chris.
No, thank you.
No,
It's a pleasure.
thank you. We just need to get Boston on now and get the old team back together.
Oh, do you know what? A guy I work with, he's just discovered the Halloween half hour.
Oh, what a show that was.
And he's like, oh, please bring it back. It's so good. And do you know what? They still get hundreds and hundreds of downloads. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. We miss you, Boston. The whole world misses you.
Well, she's too busy being a mummy at the moment.
Yeah, she sent me some baby pictures the other day. Absolutely beautiful. Makes you broody, mate. I might get a hamster or a guinea pig because my baby days are over. I might borrow her baby and do some babysitting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could do that, Boston. Me and Kerry will do that for you.
Oh, you're only up the road, aren't you?
Literally a mile away.
Wow.
I'll hear a screech of brakes in a minute, and it'll be the
Problem
baby
free.
getting dropped off.
Problem
Yeah.
free.
Here's the bottle steamer. Oh, God. Flashbacks.
They
Right.
still do that? They still do that, don't they?
I think so, yeah. It may have been 15 years
It's been
between.
4 years and I've forgotten.
Well, Coffin Karen, I mean, she's got four up there in her manor house. She literally has babies at the drop of an hat. So I'll phone her, see if they still do it. Right. Cheers, fella. See you on the next episode.
See you then.
Part of the After Dark Podcast Network.
Bom dia, bom dia.